Welcome to Career Tools. This week, career decisions and personality tests. The questions this cast answers are: what personality test should I take to decide my career? How should I use a personality test when deciding my career? And can I be successful even if a personality test says I'm not suited to a career? Are you dreaming of a great new job with better pay, benefits, and a better quality of living for you and your family? This time of year is the best time to get that job. Now all you have to do is interview. If you understand the process of an interview and what's expected of you, you can excel. Manage Tools interview series will give you that confidence. We promise. To find out more, go to www.managertools.com/#interview. That's managertools.com/#interview. So Kate, we see a lot of people who say, I'm a high I, I must be into sales, or I'm a high C, so I have to go into IT, or I'm an MBTI so-and-so, and that makes me this, and I have to go into this career. And it's not true.
It's definitely not true. I'm really high I, and I was an engineer for almost 10 years, and I got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah. So any tool out there does not dictate your success at any one career, and therefore you shouldn't take the results of any one test to have meaning being the only thing that you use to decide what your career should be. And now I've given away the whole of the cast. We'll start with the outline. So the first part is assess the field. The second one is your career is multifaceted. And the last one is embrace change. So start us off.
There's actually a lot of things that we don't really understand about personality tools and in the way that we use them, right? So if we're talking about assessing the field, there's things that we need to consider about personality assessments and tools. And one of those things is that they're not a test. A test has pass-fail elements, and you can't fail to have a personality. Everyone has a personality. Everyone you know has a personality. Maybe you're not particularly fond of all of them, but they're still there. So that's the first thing. It's not a pass-fail criteria. It's not a test. And the second thing is that there's no right personality. It's not better to be a high D than a high S in DISC. It's not better to be one or the other. Different types of personalities and profiles approach situations and experiences differently. And there's always more than one way to solve a problem. In fact, what I've found with our private conferences and talking to people about DISC is that at every level in any industry, there is someone with a different profile than you, someone who's reached your same level, who's done it completely differently than you. And we're going to talk some about DISC today because it's one that we're familiar with. But you could talk about any personality in the case, or any personality assessment in this case. All the personalities, all of the DISC profiles, all of the Myers-Briggs profiles, they're all equally capable of being successful. So we don't want anyone to consider that their type is better or other types are better, because we think they can all be successful. And in order to decide, to assess the types that would be better in a role, you really need to consider more than what most people consider. You really need to take into account the population of people doing the job, and then also the people who are doing the job the best. So I think it's really important to consider those things. And then additionally, if you're assessing the population of someone like in a call center, if you have a call center and there's a bunch of people doing the same job and we have them all take the same assessment, then we would take the results of the top 10% of performers and use those results to say this profile is the ideal employee. But that's not what most people think about when they look at these kinds of data points. They actually look at all 100 people in the company and they look at commonalities. But that's really not useful data, because you're not actually looking at the qualities of the best employees. I mean, if you look across the board, you might get some outliers and things like that. So if we have them all take the assessment, we don't guess, right? We wouldn't just guess, because our gut is not perfect. Right? It's really hard to tell sometimes what might be good and what isn't. So no matter how good you are, at discerning profiles or things like that, you still need to have accurate results to assess candidates or employees. And you have to be willing to give everyone a chance to complete the profile.
Yeah. Hiring or firing people based on gut instinct is what gets a lot of us in trouble, or a lot of people in trouble, because, you know, our gut isn't scientific or fair. And often the profiles have sufficient nuance that even if you can guess someone is a high D, you maybe can't guess what their second letter is. And so you don't know how they'll react in different situations.
I think, too, it's important to consider that even if you can, if you're hiring and things like that, during interview processes and things that happen during interviews, it's very stressful for the candidate. You may not see all of their tendencies. Now, if you have behavioral interviews, that's really great, but it also doesn't really show you all the DISC or personality stuff that you might see in a daily workday. And so if you intend on having people take the assessment in order to come into the company or something like that, it's fine. But we do think that all different types, all different personalities and all different profiles can achieve success. And so if you're looking at them and you want to choose your career, if you want to use this to choose your career, it can be hard to have the right data set, right, for the whole group.
Exactly. For the rest of this class, we're going to use DISC because it's the one we recommend. We don't recommend MBTI, for example, because the data isn't validated. And it also tells you this is who you are and you can't change. Whereas DISC says this is how you behave and you can behave any way you like as long as you think about it first. And we recommend that everybody tread carefully around the word personality because it's a much more complex concept than most people realize. And, you know, the scientists that study it in very, very small slices because you can't do big, large scale tests and then bring that down to one person and say, because you fit in this huge group, you're going to behave exactly like this. Because people have different nuances of their behavior, different places where they'll just be slightly off a profile. And you can't account for that. So DISC looks at the things that we can observe, and it says that we can change those things. And it just looks for behaviors. So you don't actually need to assume anything about somebody's core personality. You're just looking at their behaviors. So instead of looking at, oh, I'm a high D, therefore I need to do something that's really go-getting, or I'm a high C, so I have to work in IT, or I'm a high I, and so I'm best in sales. Instead of making a general decision like that, what you want to look at is the attributes that your profile says you have. So, for example, a high C is analytical and detail-oriented. And based on that, you might say accountancy is a good match, right? It's got numbers, so you can be analytical, and it focuses on detail. You have to get the money right. But sales could be a good fit too if you were selling something, a product or a service, to people who are detail oriented and analytical. Your salespeople would get on better with your customers if they had a similar profile rather than a high I going in there and go, oh, well, it's roughly this, and, you know, not accurately portraying the number of customers or the number of users or the success that people have had. And so the assessment results don't give you the answer, they can give you an answer. But it's important to look at the characteristics of the profile rather than the profile as a whole when you're thinking about choosing a career or making a change in your career.
And that's another one of our topics for today, right, is that your career changes over time, right? Your career is multifaceted. There's a lot of things that happen over the course of your career. The assessment might tell you how you're going to carry out the tasks, but careers aren't just made up of tasks. We can't assume that the accountant will never see the people who are bringing money into the firm. In fact, accountants have to give presentations and they have to explain things and provide answers, and they have to be capable of talking to other people and explaining things and sharing things with those people. It's just part of the whole. So your tendency is part of the whole. And when we're thinking about our profiles, we might say, oh, okay, well, we'll be really good at this. But it also depends on the culture of the place where you work. Mm-hmm. A different type of company has a different set of values. The same way your values, who you are, is different from your profile, companies have different sets of values from what they actually accomplish. And so maybe the type of company that you're looking for is accounting, but maybe it's a high I accounting firm. Maybe it's a high C accounting firm. Those do exist. And so it might be that your profile and your tendencies would be better suited at one type of firm than the other, right? If you work in a company where finances are very serious and that's all the decisions in the company are made are based on that, then that might be great if you're a high C. But if you work at an accounting firm or somewhere like that where it's very lighthearted, people are excited about different ideas and it's mostly about sales, then perhaps if you're very detail-oriented, analytical, the way most high Cs are, then you might struggle there. You might not feel as comfortable, even though you might think to yourself when you're taking the assessment that being a high C accountant is a good thing.
Yeah. Like it must fit, but it doesn't fit in the wrong environment. So, you know, maybe a high I accountant who's taught themselves to take care of the details might be a better fit. Even though it's completely rare that, you know, nobody would suggest off the top of their head that high I be an accountant because it seems so irrational. But that doesn't mean that a high I can't learn the necessary accuracy and the less necessary attention to detail to be an accountant. And then find a company, like we just said, that's lighthearted and fun and, you know, like the ones you see, all the startups, you know, they have a slide and candy all day and they take you dry cleaning and stuff. Maybe that's a great place for a high I who's still an accountant.
Yeah, absolutely. Another really interesting example is doctors, right? Mm. I mean, do you want a doctor who's very detail oriented and who's a scientist and analyst? Or would you rather have a people oriented doctor who's really great at relationships and spends a lot of time listening? Maybe in your mind, it would depend on the kind of doctor. A general practitioner would be more of a relationship builder, for example.
So you pick a high I GP because like that person's going to be super friendly with you?
I don't think I would. I'd want them to pay a lot of attention, especially because GPs are often the place where diagnoses happen first, right? Mm-hmm. And so you actually really want someone who is going to pay attention to details, but you also want someone who listens. So I think that, you know, you have to consider both sides. You know, what we find actually is that there's doctors, just the way we said before, anybody can be successful as long as they're willing to be effective. And so we see successful doctors in all different kinds of special medicine or different types of medicine with each of the four profiles. We can say what they're going to be good at or what they might struggle with pretty accurately, but.
Yeah, you can't say that there's one style for doctors. Because each style has its upside and downside for that role. And we can, like you said, we can predict what they're going to be good at or what they might struggle with, but we can't predict how good they're going to be as doctors just from their DISC profile. This just goes to show that you can be good at anything despite your DISC profile, and therefore it should not be the one single thing that you use to choose your career.
Especially because over time we have change, right?
Yeah. And more importantly than any profile that gives you, more importantly than your DISC profile, what it tells you is your ability to adapt. If your dream career is that of a guidance counselor, a position in a school helping kids who are struggling with their work or have personal problems or problems at home, whatever, you'd think of that as a high S. So someone nurturing, someone who cares about people, who's willing to listen to their stories. You know, that sounds like the kind of person who would make a good guidance counselor. But if you're a high D and you really want to be a guidance counselor, you can adapt your behaviors to be more like what you need to be. As a high D, we don't necessarily like listening to people's stories. But that doesn't mean we can't. We can just sit there and tell ourselves to be patient and listen and kind of check off the details as we hear them. And we maybe hear the story in a different way, but that doesn't mean that we can't come to the same conclusion and recommend the same actions as a high S might.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm not very good at always listening to stories, just because I'm not very detail oriented. What I found is that I've trained myself to take very good notes which has taught me to listen very well. And so maybe the high D guidance counselor can train themselves to do the same thing, and they might have really great notes, better notes than maybe another profile, right? Humans adapt very well, and we already change all the time. We adapt all the time without even thinking about it. We're not the same with our family or our friends, our doctor, our work colleagues, or our boss. No one is the same. It's kind of like you wouldn't wear the same clothes to garden as you would to a wedding.
No one is the same over time either. So you might start as a high D guidance counselor, but over time your profile might shift towards high S because you're exhibiting those behaviors. And remember, DISC is about behavior, not about your internal motivation or, inverted commas, who you are. We already know who you are depends on where you are and who you're with. There is a core, scientists, psychologists, and so on work with the core personality. It's very scientific and it's quite different to something that you might think it is. And so all we can really go on is behaviors, and behaviors is what DISC looks like. And you can change those behaviors. And as you change your behaviors, you change not who you are, but the way you act, and then your profile shifts.
Mm-hmm. It's simply a matter of whether or not you are engaging in different behaviors over time and whether or not they become habitual. And if they do, it reflects a change in your DISC profile. It's one of my favorite traits in humans is our ability and willingness to adapt. I mean, not everybody is. You have to be willing. But we're not the same people at 20 than we are at 70. We change over time. And this adaptability it's helped to make us successful, right? That's what has made humans so successful over time. And what's funny about that is that it's that same adaptability that helps to make people successful over their careers. Because when you first start out, if you're an individual contributor, your job is to get things done. You have to get results. And later, as you grow, as you become a manager and as you move up, then your responsibility is still getting results, but you are helping other people. It's through other people. And so relationships become key. And so if that's true, if you have that adaptation over time, starting your career based on your profile might not be as effective as you think later on. You can certainly be successful early getting things done, but you still might probably have to adapt over time. So in order to continue to be successful, you're going to have to focus on new things. And so starting our career with our profile in mind, it's a good data point, and it's not everything. We have to consider other factors as well.
Exactly. It's just one data point, and you need a whole bunch of others to do something as important as deciding your career. So any one personality instrument cannot predict your success. It's the one piece of data, and it can help you understand your preferences, but it's not the answer to what you should do and what you are going to be most successful at, because there's no one answer to that question. When you look at the field of successful people in any one career, then you need to look at the whole field of the successful people and look at all of their personalities. And it's almost guaranteed that you'll find a D, I, S, and C at the top rank of any field that you look at, because you can be equally successful no matter your profile. And we want to take into account your profile, your strengths, your weaknesses, the job, the environment, your personal circumstances. All of those things come together to decide whether or not you're going to be successful, or whether you're even going to enjoy what you do. I mean, if you took a DISC profile, decided you were a high C, and decided that high C's make good accountants, which they do, and you go into accountancy and you hate numbers, it turns out that you hate doing all this accounting stuff, then you're going to be miserable, even though the profile and the profession seem to match. You know, people's commutes have a surprising amount of effect on their happiness at work. The longer the commute, the more difficult it is, the less people like their jobs. And so you could be in the perfect job for your DISC profile, have a long commute and still be miserable. Or you could have a shorter commute in a job that you may not be perfect for on paper and be much happier. So there's so many other things that come into choosing what career you're going to have and choosing which job and choosing where you're going to work. And all of these things come together, and you can't just say one letter on a piece of paper is the thing. Like, that's the answer. We'd love for you to have a one-word answer and know, be able to predict perfectly where you're going to fit, but it can't be done. So any personality profile is one piece of data, and then add in all of the other information that you have about what you like to do, what you dislike, and the kind of company you want to work for and where it's going to be and all that kind of stuff. And then you'll be able to predict what careers you'll be happy in. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. I hope that was helpful. We'll be back next week with more guidance.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.